Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you here with us. It is Monday, October 10th, Columbus Day. Many, many of you are off, which is interesting because on days like this, when many are on holidays, they actually, most actually listen to the podcast live. They go, I want to listen to it live. So we send out the notifications, and so we won't be surprised we get a huge surge on this. Talk about listenership. It is so up. I'm just really thankful to all of you who are sharing this podcast with many of your associates because this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format. You can listen to anytime, anywhere. Getting a lot of feedback because on the podcast recently, especially positive feedback, saying how much they enjoy the hot topics being separately recorded and released, and we are releasing at least one or two a week. We've got so many recorded now, and we have a chance to edit them up and then get it really well done. And there's a lot more that we're doing to the hot topic segments that we can't do on the live Monday segment, but they're just getting a lot of feedback because of the us talking back and forth. And we're going to be doing more and more of that again in this podcast each and every week. If the host, this is where I need the co-host to help me make sure we get this is enter many, many thoughts and opinions on each one of the segments. So it's so much feedback from you that you're enjoying that. And we thank you for that. That was actually, I believe it was Jack Nunnery's idea that we go to this format. And Jack has come out of retirement, and the rascal went back to work on us. And so he is not able to join us on the podcast, at least until he gets done with this last contract. We'll see. But it's so good to know that he's doing well, and he and his wife, and we'll talk more about that at another time. But I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the newest of which is today, Candor Technologies. Really excited to have them here. If you're not familiar with Candor, you need to take a look at it because it could significantly increase the productivity of every one of your underwriters. Your underwriters are going to be able to look at only the most challenged transactions, which need your full-time attention. They're able to review quickly a lot of the other files, and some just could go right on through. But they are not what I would say is a absolute replacement to the GSEs, whether it be their AUS systems, but it is a wonderful support. And the most important part, it gets you more of a return on your underwriters and your investment in your underwriters. So every underwriter should be thrilled and embracing it. And the misnomer where it's saying, well, they'll just replace underwriters. No, it increases the productivity of the underwriters you have. So congratulations to Candor for recognizing the importance and the value of advertising with us. We're very excited. Also then on Sunday at the conference on the 23rd, there is a special event that Candor is holding. We'll be doing a live podcast from it. And if you want more details, please contact me. I'll look forward to hearing from you. You can text me at 512-632-2900. Also, I want to say a special thank you to Finastra. Fusion Mortgage Bot POS personalizes the application path based on the borrower's specific information, loan type, and more. I love how you can share and start the application in one device on your iPad or on your cell phone or on your computer and move between them. It's wonderful how they all integrate. It's open architecture, and check out what they can do for you. Finastra.com. Check out our sponsorship page, and you'll see how more information about them. Also, form free with their account check can be used to satisfy Freddie Mac's re-verification of employment. We had Eric Lappin on in September. We've got Brent Chandler coming up on October 17th, talking about the latest and greatest of what they're working on. Very exciting. I'm very excited to have that podcast released. Great always fun talking to Brent. He's such a visionary and where they're going. So check that out. Also, Lender Toolkit, they do a great job with their technology. Many of our lenders, a decreasing number of our clients, are using Lender Toolkit to fill in the gaps, but also in some big pieces of what they can do to help you. So check out their company and their technology. Brent Immler was on the podcast on July 11th. Also, SnapDocs, they help lenders overcome the obstacles to adopting e-mortgage technology. SnapDocs is now offering the e-mortgage Quick Start program. Check it out on their website. We had Brianna Ings on from SnapDocs. I encourage you to listen to that podcast. Also, then Total Expert is built for lenders and has the intelligence of understanding their unique needs. What the hell, so what I say all the time is I love, like Josh Lear and I talked about back in May on the podcast, is they're recruiting parts of the software. It's really effective. Then Simple Nexus. There's so much going on at Simple Nexus, so much growth since the acquisition of the company by Encino. What they're doing, this is one platform you've got to take serious. I was on with David Boland this last week and Creighton. We're talking about having planning out a lot of things that they're doing, but they're doing extremely well, very successful. And there's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions that they've made. They've got those pretty much digested. And if you're not talking to someone at Simple Nexus, you need to be. Also, thank you to the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. We gave a big shout out to Marcia Davies last week. Appreciate her, as well as Lenders One, as well as Mortgage Collaborative. These two co-ops do a great job of helping us get together and getting to meet each other and meet with each other in a more intimate environment. Mortgage Collaborative just had their conference just up in Chicago here not but a few weeks ago. Time's fast, going so fast, but it was really successful, very well attended. Go listen to the podcast. David could talk more about that a little bit later. David Kittle, who's on hold or here with us, and he's going to be talking a little bit some of the other stuff going on in the industry. So much going on. Also, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, as well as Mobility MMI and Modix. Mobility MMI and Modix do a great job helping you in your recruiting. You say, do we want to recruit right now? You always want to be recruiting. You should always be recruiting. The Mortgage Advisory Tool does a great job in helping you on your technology selection, as well as DW Consulting and what they can do to help you be best represented on your LinkedIn profile. Love Debbie Wemyss and what she does. Go check out that video or that interview we did. So much about these. We carefully select the advertisers, and we're really pleased with this group, and we encourage you to be checking them all out. Again, welcome, Candor. Also, finally, I want to say a special thank you to Adam DeSantis, Les Parker, Matt Graham. We got Mr. Kittle here joining us again today, Alice Alvey, Alan, and Mark Helm. Let's get over to this week's MBA Mortgage Minute and what they have to share with us today.
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Here is what you need to know. The Department of Housing and Urban Development published a request for information this week that seeks stakeholder input on barriers to originating small balance mortgages in the FHA loan program. The RFI is a follow-up to HUD's plan to support underserved communities and promote homeownership and provides a more formal opportunity to pursue these and other recommendations that FHA can use to make needed program changes. MBA shares FHA's concerns about the barriers to originating small balance FHA loans and previously has provided suggestions to reduce the cost to originate these loans. MBA's Government Loan Production Subcommittee is creating a working group that will meet on Wednesday, October 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget, MBA's annual convention is right around the corner, taking place on October 23rd through the 26th in Nashville, Tennessee. Go to mba.org/annual for more information and to register. We hope to see you there. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate MBA and all that they're doing. Look forward to seeing everybody at the conference in Nashville. There's some kind of great information there. I think we'll touch on some of that again that's coming up here just shortly. I forgot to mention that on Wednesday of this week, on the 12th, we'll be releasing How to Sell Your Authentic Personal Brand with Dr. Cindy McGovern. We'll be releasing that podcast on Wednesday, so be sure to check that out. Let's get over to our co-host, Mr. Mark Helm. Good to have you here with me. And any thoughts
Thank you,
on
David.
The MBA? Any thoughts on the MBA report that they just gave us? And then we're getting over to Alice and then Mr. Kittle. get your thoughts.
I'm just very excited about us having attendance is apparently very, very good at this NBA. I'm glad to see we're back on track again. We're in a wonderful city, Nashville. The last time it was there was outstanding. So yeah. I'm excited about it, and I think everybody I've talked to is excited about it. So I'm looking forward to 2 weeks from now when that comes together, and we'll have a lot of fun together and see old friends and talk about our industry, and maybe we can be the spark that gets the industry moving in the right direction again. You know, we hope so anyway.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. Alice, thank you so much for your report last week. It was really good. And what you didn't, I don't know, you saw the email I sent Marcia. I copied you on it. And it started with you giving a report about the Empower event that you attended last week, which I thought was outstanding. And it was really good. But I'm looking forward to any thoughts you have on what the NBA Mortgage Minute has today for us.
Well, one of the things they mentioned was the HUD RFI. So I mentioned that in my report, and I think last week, and I just wanted to let everybody know you have till December 5th to respond to that request. And then I've got more from MBA on my segment coming up.
Oh, good. Very, very good. We'll get some of that. Mr. Kittle, do you want to add anything to the the MBA report?
Yeah, you got it. But it's going to be a great conference in Nashville. It's a wonderful city, and I'm glad attendance is back up. Everybody's hungry to learn new things to get through this downturn. So I encourage anybody who hasn't registered to go.
Yeah, and TMC is having an open house there, are they not?
They are.
Yeah, good.
We have it on Tuesday evening in the city where we've taken our the co-op there twice, and we're going back there again next year, so can't wait to be back in Nashville.
Yeah, good. Great place. Well, I look forward to the TMC open house as well. Great. Let's get over to Les Parker with this week's macro view of the markets, and be sure to check out all of Les's week or daily comments on the TM Spotlight newsletter. But here we go. Let's get to hear what he has for a macro view of the markets today.
Putin's threat is blue, and there's nothing left to do.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Some analysts are skeptical about global oil demand as the world economy slumps. So OPEC cut its production. The markets are nervous. Lingering inflation, political unrest, energy unreliability, and historically high volatility across multiple markets undermine investor confidence. Keynesians consistently offer flawed forecasts because they focus on immediate effects. The quick-witted John Maynard Keynes dismissed those who point out terrible long-term consequences with, "In the long run, we all die." So, will the U.S. push Russia to use nukes? Bombs off!
And may God's love be with you.
These views are my own. Sign up at TMSpotlight.com before Armageddon.
Well, there's a little drama in that one, but it wasn't too far off. You read the headlines today, 50 missiles went into Ukraine, hitting all over there. And I was listening to looking at some of the videos earlier today, and it's just like, oh my gosh, the carnage over there. So Les, looking at what happened, again, the markets are closed today because of a federal holiday. So we'll see how everything reacts tomorrow, but certainly a lot going on out there. So yeah, missiles away. Is this Armageddon? I doubt that. But what do we have to look forward to? Very, very interesting times, very disturbing, very frustrating. And then also the Nord 1 pipeline looks like it was sabotaged. And so there's just a lot of wild global economic, global geopolitical things going on. Geopolitical unrest. And so could be a great time to be finding out what's going on. But you definitely want to have a system like what our good friend Matt Graham has with us. But because it's a holiday, Matt is joining us today. The markets are closed. He's taking the day off. So we wish you well, Matt. But it's good. Let's get to you, Mr. Kittle, and get an update on that. And then while you're doing that, we'll get also some feedback from you and then Alice and Mark on, let's start off with you on what you're hearing about production, Mr. Kittle.
Yeah, well, thanks, David. Again, it's good to be here even on Columbus Day. And, the recipe for the environment out there right now really doesn't bode well going into the winter. Volume's always slow historically, especially on the purchase side when you come into the holidays, Halloween, Thanksgiving, yep. and Christmas. It's been up over the past few years because we've been, you know, sugar high on low rates for the past 6-7 years. But right now, if you look at it, for week 39, rates are for 2022, rates were up about 3/8. So you're looking at a fixed rate mortgage now of about 6.65% ending last week on October the 4th. That's a lot to absorb. Purchase volume down about 32%. That cash out volume, no surprise there, down almost 80%. And the no cash out volume is, it's at its lowest since 2019. So mm-hmm. that with high interest rates, with inflation, gas prices rising again, is not a recipe that, that bodes well for our industry. So I would suggest, thinking this past week as I'm absorbing and taking in all this data, that what can you do to increase production? One of the things, it won't add a lot, but it can be something that could sustain you in some areas, is manufactured housing. There are a lot better homes than they were years ago. You know, the GSEs, you can take them FHA, and it gets us into that affordable housing, first-time home buyer, go out and promote manufactured housing. There are investors out there that buy those programs, and I just think it could be that little sliver that could add a little volume to you each month.
Well, it is a great, that's a great good suggestion. And you look at Ian and when it rolled through Florida and the damage it did to a lot of the manufactured housing there, that's older product. Some of the newer product actually fared much better. So it's interesting to see how the construction standards have substantially improved. So when you look at manufactured and they go some places in the central part of the country, they call them tornado magnets. And because of the damage it does, and it looks like it just draws them in there and it's just chaos. But if you take a look at the construction standards in these manufactured houses, they've gotten a lot better, especially FHA has recognized it with the programs they have. And then Alice, what are your thoughts on when you look at the FHA interest and continued support of the manufactured housing? Any thoughts?
Well, we love manufactured homes. We do them very well. We even offer construction to permanent financing on them. So, you know, I think it's,
oh, really?
It's definitely a market that, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We, cause we agree that there is a market out there for them and the newer construction. I mean, some of them are nicer than some stick built houses that we see come across. So, it's definitely a worthwhile market for sure. I was going to add, too, I wondered, you know, if the group was hearing more about loan officers inquiring about assumptions since the rates are so low and they're trying to grasp at anything. And we've been talking to some folks about you really have to know how to sell against the idea of an assumption for homeowners, mostly because values have also substantially increased. So even though the rates that people have today might be appealing, conventionals are only assumable once they hit their adjustable phase, and that's going to be, you know, 5 years down the road for most of the ARMs. Even though FHAs and VAs are assumable, it's still not a piece of cake, and it's going to take 60 to 90 days to get it done. And, you know, there's just a lot of downside to an assumption. People think, oh, can't I just take on someone else's rate? And I think there's some information that needs to be shared
really
out
good.
There with everyone about, you know, there's a lot of cons on that. A few pros, you know, yeah, I get the rate, but boy, you better have a big down payment with the rate way housing prices have increased.
Yeah. And another one right there, Alice, is unless this has changed, but if you're a veteran and someone assumes you're a veteran loan, you lose your benefit. You can't get your benefits back until they pay off that. Is that still the case?
If it's a civilian that is assuming your VA loan, then correct. Your VA entitlement will still be attached to that loan and you will not get it back to reuse it. That's correct. If you can find a veteran who wants to assume it and substitute with their entitlement, that's an option. But, you know, that's a short list.
Yep. And finding the veteran to do that and then going through that assumption process. Man, it's been a long time since I've done that. I pulled that one out of my memory a long, long time ago. But
I remember in the 80s, we would do a wrap. We would do a wrap with a second. Oh, my gosh, it was crazy. I hope those don't come back.
But we're back to those days, is which something Mr. Kittle talked about in one of the other podcasts here recently. The skill set of bringing back the knowledge of what we can do, and that's creative. And we've lost that art, Alice, for the most part, because we've had just easy road of 30-year fixed rate, 15-year fixed rate, and more business than we could handle. We did not need to be the creative like many are needing and finding they need to be today. But that's good that you did what you did. I didn't realize you guys are doing the construction loans on those as well. That's really good, right? Mm-hmm. Union Hope, way to go. Very, very good. Mark, want to jump in on Les's comments?
Yeah, I have a couple of comments. First of all, about the manufacturing housing, I was told by a pretty good source in the industry about some things that were happening in northern Nevada area on manufactured housing, and so I went out and did my own independent research on it and found out it was true. There is a lot of manufactured housing to deal with the housing crisis and the pricing of housing springing up in that area, and now a bunch of these manufactured housing subdivisions, et cetera, out there. And, you know, trying to find a sweet spot of 2,000 to 2,500 square feet for people that, even though the price is still high on it, it's a bargain compared to what housing is, fixed housing is costing out there. And so I think manufactured housing has not seen its greatest growth spurt. And in fact, considering that manufactured housing has a tendency to be less expensive than sticks and stones and bricks, there's a real good possibility that we'll see a surge in that market. And I think that's probably going to happen because as people look for affordable housing and the idea of these rates going up. And the good news is that we got good support from VA and FHA on manufactured housing. So I think that's going to be a positive. And it's there used to be stigmas. I mean, you know, when I grew up, it was called they live in a trailer, you know, and then they live in a single wide. And now they live in a double wide. But that stigma is
really
dramatically moving away as people are now in manufactured housing. It looks the same, and you're inside of it. You can't tell it's not a house. It's built with brick and mortar. You know, it's so it's kind of interesting. And I would like to flip over and talk about something else that we were talking about the assumptions. Assumptions have always been a part of the mortgage servicing operation in shops and still predominantly is. And I got to tell you, we haven't done a lot of mortgage assumptions the last 10 years or so. And because of that, that expertise in dealing with them has kind of gone away. And it's never been the assumption department's responsibility to tell people how to get second lien due down payments or wrap things and all that. But the process has never really, I think, been easy. And nowadays, I don't know how easy it's going to be when you got people that really haven't been working with assumptions that heavily and a new volume might come in. So I don't think that assumptions will be as easy as people think they are to make work. And I think that the lenders are going to have to get their staff retrained to handle assumptions and move on down the road. And there's certainly a big difference between government assumptions and conventional assumptions.
Oh, yeah.
And the question then becomes whether the conventional folks are even going to allow assumptions in this Islay or you know, it depends, particularly in some of the investors would like to probably move off the lower rate investment they have to a higher rate investment they have. So we'll see what happens on that. But the servicing industry better bolster up because I do believe there is going to be a rise in assumption processing.
Yeah, what would you be your suggestion, Mark, for them? Again, if you Google a mortgage expert on loan servicing, Mark Helms' name would come to the top of the list if it was there. So, Mark, you're appropriate guy to go to and ask, you know,
I think what they probably need some of the companies that haven't been used to doing a lot of assumptions need to hire a third party to come in, do some training sessions with them and work through. And it would not be a bad idea for the assumption departments to reach out to FHA and VA and ask for an expert from FHA to be on the phone and talk through what the current process is so everybody understands the checklist and things that have to be done. And you can do the same thing with Freddie and Fannie. And I think that's going to be important. And so start with the people that have the asset and you're dealing with to get as much input as you can and how the current process works, especially having done them for a while. And if you're just a newbie starting off and you got a big servicing portfolio and you weren't in the servicing business way back when, then I think you lean on professionals in the industry that are experts at assumptions and come in and give presentations on it. Or nowadays you can do a Zoom. You know, it doesn't have to be in person. So that's what I would do if I was them.
Good. Well, folks, if you're listening to this and going, who should we call? Call Mark Helm or email Mark, M-A-R-C, at TMS-advisors.com. Mark will come in and get you tuned up to be able to handle assumptions. Didn't mean to put an ad right in the middle of that, but seems appropriate, Mark, given that. Mr. Kittle, we started with you. I'll let you go. Before we go over to Alice, let's get to you. And as you wrap up and listen to some of the feedback, any thoughts on this conversation?
Sure. I think, hey, what a resume builder for me, right, to have both Alice and Mark agree that manufactured housing is the way to go. So thanks to you both.
Yeah.
When you're talking about, you get back to the structural integrity of these homes. I live in Kentucky, so the tornadoes come through here quite a bit as well. And if anything above an F3 hits my house and it's stick-built, it's gone as well. So yeah. I don't think a structural issue with a manufactured house has any play to it whatsoever any further. I'd like to add one more comment, if I may.
Yes.
And that is when you're talking about, just a second ago, about the art of structuring the deal. So if you're sitting down and, the wife or the husband is upset about the interest rates going up to 6 5/8, look, Rocket Mortgage is already out here doing it, and others listening may as well. Go ahead and finance with us now. Don't put 20% down. Put 10% down. Let's pay off other debts. We'll actually give you a lower payment going forward than what you have. And if rates fall in the next year or 18 months, at least 1% will refinance you for free and entice these people and give them a commitment that they can lower their payments when the rates fall, and we all hope that they will. But do some type of marketing in that area to know that you're there for them, not just to do this deal. You're there for them in the long term.
Yeah, I saw Rocket Mortgage's ad while watching football over the weekend, and I was going, dang, those guys are good marketers. It's a great product, but it's available to everybody for the most part. So it goes back to structuring, becoming updated on what's happening, what you can do, and are you asking – I want to ask yourself – I would ask you this question. Are you doing the job of training up your loan originators? Alice runs training at Union Home, so – Alice, any tips on how – are you finding yourselves doing a lot of training on program structuring?
Yes, we always have. I think the biggest thing to David's point is products.
Yeah.
Yeah, and making sure that everybody knows how everything about the products that you have, how to be able to structure what's in the best interest of the customer and be able to be there for them for the long haul.
Well, this gets into some regulatory issues also, Alice, which is, we might as well head right on over into your segment with that segue. So, again, let's get into the legislative update. I'm interested in your update. And also, you're so good about helping us, the industry, and through our podcast, talk about, the regulatory consequences of certain product selection. So I want you to touch on that as well. But anyway, Alice Alvey, CMB Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Good to have you here. Thanks for your comments already. What you got for us?
Well, I think along that line, if we want to help listeners stay along the same path, you can't have a planned refinance. So Rocket has to be, any lender has to be very careful as to how they're marketing that and the timing by which they're clarifying for the customer on when they will help them and how they will help them. So there is a lot of compliance as you're thinking about trying to mirror some kind of a product where you would help the customer in the future. So,
yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. I knew you would make that and make it more eloquent than I could. Good point. What other good things?
All right. Yeah. Well, from a legislative update, Congress is, they're in for this week, then they go back. So they're on and off for the rest of the year, especially right now. They leave, I think, October 24th. So they go back home to be on the campaign trail until November 8th. And then they're in and out, of course, as we come up to the end of the year with the holidays. So not sure a lot is actually going to get passed between now and then. The MBA and their news link, published that they're pushing for the VA Home Loan Benefit Act. So they had pushed that out with the Mortgage Action Alliance, and thank you all to who participate in that. So certainly we'll be watching for that, but this is the end of the 117th Congress at the end of this year, so anything that doesn't get through by December 31st would have to start all over again through House, Senate, and you know the drill in January. We did have HMDA change come up, and this is a big one. So a lot of people don't have to pay attention to HMDA. As a matter of fact, if you see the person at your company who's responsible for filing the HMDA report, thank them that it's not you. So it's a tough job. It's a thankless job to be the one responsible for filing the HMDA report. I used to do it. We consulted a lot back in my day. So what changed was that the lender threshold, how many loans do I close, they use the term originate, in a year, how many mortgage loans, and the threshold was moved to 100 in 2020. Mm. And then this court ruling about in the MBA update at the beginning of the show is now they're going to move it back to where it was at 25 because a court ruling came in and said, wait a minute, when they changed it to 100, they really didn't have valid reasons, and it's excluding a segment of the population of loans that they want to make sure is included. So it was a lot of nonprofit coalitions that wanted this pushed back down. Some commentary I've read out there, like from Ballard Spahr, that legal firm commented that they did not think that it would be challenged again by the CFPB. They are absolutely in favor of more consumer data, and so it looks like we may be working towards it, the threshold being 25. Now, for those of you who don't know what that means, that really loops in a lot of small community lenders, loops in a lot of small banks to now that they would potentially have to file a HMDA report. So I'm in favor. I think it's always good to get as much data and not omit data from the smaller rural areas, which is what that does. Quick note, Fannie Mae announcement 2209. It had a note in there about Social Security income documentation. So they're expanding what they're going to accept, and they're now going to accept not just an award letter, but they'll also take SSA 1099, so the 1099 from the Social Security Administration, or the most recent signed federal income tax return to serve as documentation. That's a big win because sometimes it's hard to get those award letters. So check out that Fannie Mae announcement. And that's my update today, Dave. Back to you.
Very good, Alice. Yeah, was it a good – it was. And you talked about the conference being so great. And, again, that kicked off a very spontaneous conversation about all that Marcia Davies does for our industry. So thank you for your report and for taking the time to turn that in. That actually – spun up to a really good conversation. It was a love on Marcia, which we are so grateful for her and all her commitment to this industry.
Yeah, she is great. And that Empower event is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking so forward. I remember you were there at this Washington, D.C. We set up the podcast booth, and Bill being such a strong supporter of the MBA, and especially bringing new people in, he flew so many people in for that particular event. And you sat at the table, and we interviewed a whole bunch of your new people that were attending the Empower event for the first time, and you could tell how moved they were and how inspired they were. So it is such an amazing event. So kudos to Marcia. Thank you to the MBA for doing that. And Alice, thank you for your report. David Kittle, any thoughts on Alice's report? And then over to you, Mark.
No, Alice's report is great as always. No, I don't have a lot to add to that.
Yeah, well, you're just good friends. We both are good friends with Bill. And so they're at Union Home, so we're very grateful and always respect what they're doing. And I told Bill, I said, Cosgrove, my respect for you went up another notch when you went out and stole Alice away and got her to come to work for you, and got her not only to come to work for you, but you got her to move out of Michigan and so over to Ohio. That was amazing. So he's the
hardest man in mortgage banking to say no to.
Oh, is this? Is that right? Oh, you play golf. Is that true, Alice? Is that the way you would characterize it?
Bill is very good at communicating what is best for Union Home and what he needs and what's right for the industry. And people get it, and they go, you're right, I'm there.
All right, that's so good. Well, last week was a praise Marcia. We turned this one into a praise Bill Cosgrove. He started the IMB conference. That was his doing under his chairmanship. So we're grateful for Bill for sure. So tell him hello, Alice. We just had a moment of appreciate Bill on the podcast today.
You'll
get a chuckle out of that. Mr. Mark Helm, your thoughts on Alice's report?
Yeah, I got a thought that chimes right into one thing Alice mentioned, and that is I don't think we ever in our industry paid the people have to deal with HUMA reporting enough money.
Oh, yeah.
that is one of the taken for granted positions in our companies, and it's so important information. It needs to be done right. It needs to be done timely. And I just don't think we pay enough attention to that position and the people we have in it. And the people do a good job, do an outstanding job, and they're really beneficial for us in our environment in the mortgage industry. And I'm glad you mentioned that in your presentation, because that's thank God it's not me, you know.
Well, not only that, it's having it done correctly. And
yes,
there's
sir.
So many people have messed up on this one report, and that is not a report you want to mess up on, because the amount of data that's out there and how the regulators that are, and I'll be honest with you, the plaintiff bar, people say, who's the plaintiff bar? That's the part of the legal system that looks for errors and launches class action lawsuits. That's the plaintiff bar. It's a whole group of attorneys that just operate like a pack of wolves around our mortgage pack or our mortgage tribe here, and looking to pick off easy wins because things are not done correctly, or the way the windows of insight that the plaintiff bar, these attorneys that sue our industry, go into and look at our industry. We're just so exposed out there. And if we don't have the data right, even more exposed on that. Alice, what are the penalties for not getting it right? Do you recall off the top of your head? I'm putting you on the spot here. Sorry about that.
You know, we used to have an old adage that it was like $5,000 per day per error is what it used to be if you were on like repeat offender status. So I don't have the number today. That's old adage that was out there for quite some time. I'm not sure what the penalties have ended up being since it's turned over to the CFPB, but it can be very substantial. We worked with one lender that, you know, if you were on error round of errors number three, they can close you down.
They can shut you down. Yes. Yep. You cannot sell the license to that entity. You are shut down. You are just D.O. dead on their arrival. So that's a good point on that.
That was a thought for the future. I would enjoy this, and I think you could do an excellent job at it. It would be nice if on one of our podcasts if you could talk a little bit more about HMDA reporting and rather than just the word, talk about the elements of it to people, because I'm sure there's a lot of people on the podcast that they've heard HMDA and really don't understand what it is. And if you could give a high-level overview, I think it'd be real helpful for our listeners on the podcast to understand a major element of our business.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that. Yes, Home Mortgage Disclosure Act, for those of you who don't know what we're saying, but yes, we'd be happy
What's
to. What's
this HMDA stuff? All this
mortgage. The why should I care version of HMDA reporting, right?
Yeah. Why you as an originator should care? David? Mr. Kittle?
I was having trouble getting off mute there. Give me the... You want me to respond to that?
Yeah. I was just asking. You certainly have talked about this, and we've talked about the difficulty of HMDA at the TMC events.
Yeah, look, the comment that certainly what Mark has made, you know, it's the acronym of the industry, my perception, that gives me angst. And the HMDA reporting, it's pretty intense. I wouldn't want to do it. To Mark's point, and are they underpaid? Whoever has to deal with this every day, absolutely. I mean, this is the—I would say—the worst job in mortgage banking. If you haven't
It's right up there. It's one of the more unpleasant ones, that's for sure. But if you select the right team, that's what's really is so interesting. Is if you select the right group of people that just love data, love going into it. There is a group of people that are just wired for doing this, and it's so key that we get the right people, which kind of goes into something that you're working on, Mr. Kittle, which has to do is right-sizing the business. You have Stephen Chapman out there that works with you, and it's identifying those people to make sure, you know, Stephen, who is it that said in the Good the Great book, James Collins said, you know, get the right people on the bus, and not only that, get the right people sitting in the right seats on the bus, and you're going to have a much more successful business. Stephen does that. David, and you also then, when you're cutting back, You don't want to be cutting back in servicing. Mark established that a couple of podcasts. We always reiterate that in every podcast. Do not be cutting your servicing staff right now. It's unless you sold off a whole bunch of portfolio. That'd be the only reason you might want to consider that. But also realize how valuable they are, because trying to get them back, because they'll get snatched up if they haven't even experienced anywhere. They're going to get snatched up because it's one of the most hottest still demand come out. People with that skill set and that background are in hot, hot demand. So think twice about getting rid of it. But Mr. Kittle, you talk about right-sizing these companies. It's so important that we cut back in the right people and with the right skill sets. Any thoughts you want to add to that?
Well, only that, there's still people out there that need to right-size. And there are people now, companies that think they did the right thing to right-size and haven't done it. Because they go in quick, they just look at their balance sheet, take the highest salary, and that's where they go. And sometimes, I think I've said this before, the leadership team, the C-suite needs to look at themselves along with, all the staff, and where are they realigned, and where are they geographically. They need to take a look at all that data. And, of course, we've got Howard Nathan as well on the team with Stephen. But Stephen's skill set, as far as the culture and putting the people in the right places, to your point, is a real asset to the team that we've put together here.
Yeah. Go back and listen to that podcast. We'll put it in the show notes. I'll ask my staff to make sure they get that podcast in the show notes. So much things that we've referenced here. As we wrap up the podcast, Alan, by the way, I should say, Alan Pollock sends his greetings out to all you all listeners and all you all there, a little Texas talk. But anyway, he sends out his greetings. Unfortunately, his mom went into hospice today, and she's very near passing. So he's on a flight up to New Jersey to be with her before she departs this earth. And our thoughts and prayers remain with you, Alan, and we're very grateful for you and all the tech updates you bring us. So we miss you, Alan, but you are loved, and we do wish your mom the best, as it looks like this is that point in time where she's departing. And wish you and all, I hope you get the goodbye said. I had the privilege of doing that with my mom and dad. I said goodbyes to them before they passed on, and it's so important. My wife just went through that with her dad. So it's so important. Bring good closure on it. Anything else as we wrap up the podcast? Let's go with you, Alice. Any thoughts as things flowing around in your mind that you like to cover before we exit out?
I just think it's important for everyone to think positive, be out there helping customers. You're planting a lot of seeds for future business, and we've seen interest rates a lot higher than this. Still lots of business out there, and so, find ways to keep yourself positive each and every day, because there's still a lot of customers out there who need you.
Yeah. Mr. Kittle, I was thinking of Alcova, Bobby Nicely, who is a regular listener and a client of ours, who sent me they're doing a sales retreat this weekend, a sales training, sales uplift kind of thing. And he sent me the video, Mr. Kittle, of one of the Rockies, where the Russian that was battling with them was so much taller, so good looking, and just was wailing on him and just beating him. And then he came back. It was such a wonderful thing. And he says, Dave, what do you think about playing this Rocky clip at our training? I said, that's exactly how many of them are feel. They just feel so consistently beat up these days. And just don't quit. Alice, great word, great comment. Mr. Kittle, any parting thoughts or wisdom?
Let's put on top of it. Of course, Alice is exactly correct. People may get tired of, hearing it, but I started originating back when rates were, 17 and 18.5%. So surely we're not at those places right now. So don't lose heart. You keep positive. Look for adjustable rate mortgages and the ability to refinance when rates come back down. Don't lose heart.
Don't lose heart. Great, great, great point. Mark, you and I have both been in this industry for a long, long time. And we went through that. Teens, I remember doing some loans at 20%, 18, 19, and a couple flipped up to 20%. It was a traumatic time, but we got through it. And now, so the underpinnings, what's so nice about this time, Mark, is that we have such strong demographic support for our reason to be bullish about our industry. If you look at the number of millennials and now Gen Zers that are going to be entering the housing market that have not purchased homes for the first time, and then we talked about manufactured housing and versus the stick-built construction that's out there right now and the affordability, how that can meet the affordability. It's really interesting. We should be very, very we've got a lot we're digesting. We understand. I don't want to put anyone in shame for feeling a little bit of depression right now with the volumes being down. But if you look at this industry, come on, skip back up. Your thoughts on that, Mark?
Yeah, I got a couple comments. First of all, I was one of those individuals that assumed a 15.5% mortgage at one time and was glad to get that because rates were about 2 points higher.
Yeah.
I was glad to do an assumption at 15. Nowadays, thinking about doing an assumption at 15.5% is just obscene, but back then it was real. And I think that's an important thing. I want to mention one other thing to close out our HMDA topic. I was just going to ask Alice and David, do y'all know of any third parties that contract to do HMDA reporting for companies? You know, it seems like we've outsourced about everything in the industry. I just wonder if there's any people that actually contract and do HMDA reporting for lenders.
I am unaware
there
of any. No, I don't.
Yeah, there are companies that will, so essentially there's software that you can use to scrub your HMDA data that'll compare
right,
it against,
right.
you know, the rules. So, yeah, I'll be prepared for that next week. You know, I don't, people change names and services so often, I don't want to throw out any names right off the cuff
mm-hmm.
here. But, yeah, next week we can be prepared to share some names with folks on people who can help them with the service.
Okay. I think that would be great. Well, David, I know we're coming tight on our time here, but I got two calls this past week since the last presentation, and they're from lenders.
We skipped over the servicing. What am I thinking? I had to scroll up on my notes.
Yeah, you just were leaving me out, David.
No.
What can I say?
Well, when Al apologized, it was a no-show. I stopped scrolling on my show notes here. So, forget all that. We're not ending the podcast. We got to have our servicing update. Mark, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I want to share something because of two calls I got, and they were completely unrelated, but about the same topic, and they're about servicing values. And there were different approaches. One person called me and said, you know, we got Ginnie Mae recapitalizing, have changing the capitalization requirements. We got all the investors. You know, times are going to be tough. We're afraid people are going to change net worth things and all. And you know, part of our net worth is our servicing value, and
we've
got to better understand it, what moves the ticker tape up and down on it and all that. And said, so you could share some thoughts on that. And I said, yeah, I'd be glad to. And then I had another person approaching it a different way, and that is what can we do to sell our portfolio to make sure people understand we're creating good portfolio. And I gave them my lecture about, you know, You need to be experts at what you service to the best degree you can,
mm-hmm.
because if you're a multi-state lender but you don't have multi-state servicing experience and there are some peculiarities in some states and all, you should stay in your region and not get out of that. And maybe you sell those loans and keep the loans that are on your own backyard, which you'll do a better job at, et cetera. So I promised them both that I would do three things here. I would talk a little bit about the how we evaluate servicing so people have a general understanding of it, and I can do this fairly quickly, and then also talk about the risk involved with servicing that we have today, and those have changed dramatically in the last few years. So when we're evaluating servicing, we have to look at the income approach of servicing. So we're looking at our servicing fee income we make, and everybody on the phone probably knows it's different between Freddie and Fannie and Jenny. We also look at ancillary incomes, and quite frankly, those have gone down dramatically since I entered the business when we were selling every kind of insurance product in the world. And you also look at late charge income. And now the investors, Freddie and Fannie in particular, will reimburse you for certain default fees for things you do to try to make a loan work. And then you got some float attributes that help you out a little bit, but not like they used to. It used to be you could get hard interest credit when I started in the business for your escrow balances you had with some money, and now it just enhances your banking relationship for your warehouse and all lines if you got $40 or $50 million in escrow deposits sitting there. So you kind of look at those things, and I'm not by all means saying that's all in, and I'm giving you every element there is. I'm just giving you some high points. And then
mm-hmm.
we have to look at the offset against that, which is expense, and it's cost of service, which has dramatically changed over the last four decades. There's two different costs. There's a cost of what we call core cost, which is people expenses and systems mainly. And the people expenses are what you pay them, where you set them in an office and all that stuff. And that's dramatically changed in the last 2 years, 3 years because of COVID. Unfortunately, when the modeling is done, people can basically show a different value on the servicing based on what they use for servicing costs, because they can have all-in costs, which is every penny they spend to service loans, or that cost of this talked about, which is, you know, people and occupancy and systems. And people and systems are your main two costs in servicing. So then you also got to look at it whether you're going to service yourself or whether you're going to subservice. And if you subservice, you got to have a subservicing oversight unit, which costs you money even though you're paying the subservicer to do it, because you don't eliminate your internal audit, quality control, and compliance responsibilities just because you have someone else servicing loans for you. And then your default-related expenses, especially in hard times, your default finding good collectors, good loss mitigation people, et cetera, and beefing up those staffs to handle that gets expensive. So those are things you got to look at. And the risk that we have today, some of them have been around forever, and some of them have really become apropos in the last few years, and I'll go through those. Default, obviously, is real clear. Somebody goes delinquent, you try to save the loan, you do workouts, you're not making the servicing fee income on it anymore because the servicing income is part of the servicing fee, and the servicing fee is part of the interest spread, so if you don't have it, you don't make it. So that's a big deal. And then prepayments, of course. In a market we're going in now, there's going to be some prepayment risks on the servicing you put on the books because people, when the rates go down, are going to go to refi. A factor that I found out more about it in servicing reverse mortgages than I ever knew, and that is death. We forget sometimes how death in senior borrowers. We're having so many seniors nowadays doing regular mortgages and reverse mortgages of big numbers when they're in their late 60s and 70s. And
right.
The high probability of a number of those people, or at least one of those spouses, will die prior to that loan being paid off is real. And so now one of our risks we have now that we didn't have 30 years ago is a major risk is death. We still got credit as the economy goes kind of crazy around us, and I'll put economy in there too. And then I also talk about location. Location can be kind of critical when you're in a certain area of California and all the industry's leaving to move to Texas, and all of a sudden the support people for those people that didn't move don't have jobs anymore because that industry's not there. And then you got our disasters, which, gosh knows, if you don't believe in global warming, you should, because we've had enough disasters that there's a lot of stuff going on in this country we can't explain, and look what disasters do to us and do to portfolios and insurance companies that are supposed to pay claims, and the insurance companies are there to protect the mortgage company's interests and the borrower's interests, but now they're somewhat limited in their policies because they don't want to be responsible. I had the hurricane came through my lake home about 3 years ago down in Florida, and I was more amazed at what they didn't pay me for than what they did pay me for. And laws. What can I say about state and federal laws as they continue to change and make our job more challenging and more difficult?
Yep,
and last but not least,
sure.
I'll put one in there. In general, performance of the loan, if you monitor a portfolio, people are starting to work in the models, not just delinquency, what it is today, but what is your trend delinquency over a period of time, and how is that loan could perform against servicing. So when you look at all those factors and you take the income, the expense, and overlay it with the risks involved, the servicing evaluation process is not for the faint of heart, and most people can do it internally with home-driven or supplied models that they use for it, but most all of us in the industry use third parties to validate that for us to make sure we're hedging against the possible losses we'll have on that, because the biggest asset we have in most major mortgage companies is our book of servicing value, and a lot of people dipped into that recently to make ends meet and to help them through the struggling time, and people will dip into more here as we go on through this rough time we're having.
Yeah,
so I know that's a lot fast, David, but I thought
a lot, there's a lot in there. Boy, I'm taking a spanking from some of our listeners. I forget your segment. They go, Lincoln, we love your program, but don't forget servicing. Accounting and servicing get stuck down behind in the stacks, and it's often forgetting. Don't let that happen. We're glad to have this segment. So yeah, I had several comments about that, Mark. So good job. Thanks for not letting this slip by. Let's get you over to you, Alice. Any thoughts on Mark's report?
Well, it was so much to unpack, but extremely valuable. I think for the companies out there that are servicing, to get that external and viewpoint and get Mark's expertise. And I'm not just trying to pitch Mark. I'm just trying to, in general, the risks that we face today are like an onion, and you really need some outside perspective to understand that. Now, for those of you who were thinking about getting in servicing and Mark just scared you, I think I think you know, what you're learning is that it is a good hedge in this market today, and it is something that's definitely worth looking at still. And there are ways to step into it very reasonably. We've seen lenders do it, and I know you guys would be a great resource for someone there too. Don't let the risks scare you, because the benefits outweigh the risks.
Especially
in these. I agree 100%, Alice. Thank you for that comment.
Yeah. And by the way, Alice, you're never going to get in trouble selling and promoting Mark. I guess, first of all, it won't hurt your reputation, because he does really well, and he's good. He's good at what he does. And then also, more importantly, we're just grateful for the extra promotes on that. Mr. Kittle, when I'm thinking about the servicing, how many companies? I was talking, David, to a couple of the members, the warehouse lending members that are part of TMC, and this last week, and they said that over 50% of the companies that we bank right now are losing money. The ones that are right at break even or just barely keeping their nose above water, they're the ones with loan servicing. Isn't that interesting?
Okay, isn't that a shock? So to Alice's point, to Mark, and I'll be the first one to promote Mark Helm anytime. Absolutely. He's the one you need to call. It is a great hedge. It's an income stream that continues going on, especially at the lower rates if you put on servicing the last few years. You know, those loans aren't going to run off. And to Alice's point, and it's a great point, there are ways to get into it. Baby steps, take a little bit at a time. You know, you don't have to service your own. There are great sub-servicers out there. Find a boutique one that you can get in with. And it's a hedge against rising rates. It absolutely is. It diversifies everything that you do. And that also gives you, you know, a base to go to when the rates are higher. You have that information to get your refinances going when rates fall. So it's a long-term customer commitment and a good way to ask for referrals when you do a good job.
Good job. Mark Helm, I'm so sorry. We almost went by that. I'm glad you spoke up. Don't ever let me miss the service.
I thought I was a figment of your imagination, David.
No, you're not. I don't know what I was thinking. Dear God, that was just, you know. Well, maybe it's a holiday. I've been a whatever. But anyway, we're not going to let that happen again. Got reprimanded by a couple of our listeners in a nice, fun way. Nice, fun way. But anyway, Mark, thanks so much. On this, a great report, great conversation all the way around. We're getting so much feedback, listeners, from you that you like this format when we sit around and talk about each one of the reports that are given, and we really welcome that. Also, we'd love to get feedback from you on other things that we could do well, on topics that you want to listen to. And so it is really important that we definitely hear from you. We want to. Remember, Dr. Cindy McGovern will be featured on Wednesday in our Hot Topics segment as we release that. She's going to be talking about how to sell your authentic personal brand. I remember recording this just yesterday, and it is such a good recording and in so much a wealth of information in this that you'll really thoroughly enjoy. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors as we get ready to exit the program, Candor Technology. Welcome to our newest sponsor, Candor. Thrilled to have you here. Finastra Fusion Mortgage Bot Solutions, Form Free Lender Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the MBA, Lenders One, Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coupe, Mobility MMI, Modex, the Mortgage Advisory Tools, and DW Consulting. Folks, thank you so much for being here and telling others about the podcast. Our listenership is growing. We had 8,000 downloads here recently, one day of our podcast. We're consistently running over 30,000 listens per month. We're so grateful to have you as our listeners. Share this podcast with others. Most importantly, we're just grateful for you. Have a great rest of your week. Keep your attitude up, as Alice was talking. We've got so much to offer an industry that is definitely needing our services. We're not going away. Our podcast's not going away, and this industry isn't. So have a great one, and we'll talk with you soon. Thank you.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.